Okay, we now begin the ninth perek of Masechta Sota. This is the last perek, and chapter 9 is a very long chapter. It's almost like all Masechta. The topic for the first, I'll call it half of it, is the extraordinary mitzvah of the Egla Arufa, this decapitated calf, baby cow. So let me just explain this outside a little bit first to get the picture of what's happening, and then we'll actually go through the Psukim as an introduction, and then we'll start going through the Mishnayos Be'ez Hashem. So first, what's the story here? The story is in Parsha Shoftim, where the Torah sets out its vision for the importance of proper leadership, how to establish a king, how to wage wars, how to run courts, and so on, a just legal system. So at the end of the Parsha, we have the Parsha of this Egla Arufa, which is talking about a situation in which a Jew is found lying out in the open, out in some field somewhere. He's been, you know, violently murdered, and no one knows how this happened, who did it to him. He's just this unsolved murderer. This poor fellow's lying there. So that is seen as somehow indicative of the failure of the leadership, the topic of Parsha Shoftim, in establishing a just Jewish society in Eretz Yisrael, where that kind of thing just couldn't happen, where murderers are running free and they don't care about the law, and that people are getting murdered in the first place, and that there could be societies that produce these kind of murderers and so on. So when that happens, there are essentially, this gets a little confusing for some people, I think, there are three different groups of people that essentially represent different parts of the leadership infrastructure in the Torah's view of Eretz Yisrael's administration. You have members of the Sanhedrin, you have members of the local Bezdin, and you have members of the Kohanim, and they'll all have a role to play, essentially to participate in this, bring it to everyone's attention, and essentially trying to get some kind of atonement for this, confessing what happened and insisting it wasn't their fault, bringing people's attention that this would be people's fault. The responsibility of leadership is to ensure that society is just and these kind of things shouldn't happen, and then asking Hashem for some kind of kapara. Now, there actually is a shita in the Gemara, Lazar Yaakov's shita, is that not only do you have those, but even the Kohen Gadol and the entire Sanhedrin and the Melech, everyone has to come participate in this activity, again, to sort of understand from the top down that when bad things happen, it's partially the responsibility of the individual who made bad decisions, of course, but also partially the responsibility of the leadership who are expected to foster a just society and ensure people have the proper guidance and enforcement and so on, so that, you know, justice can thrive and people could not degenerate so badly. So I think it's a little confusing, so let me just say out the basic parts of the story here first. What happens is we find this murdered fellow, Rahman al-Tzlan, and we have these three different parties, like we said before, and there are two different locations. There's the location where he's found, and from there we're going to measure which is the closest city that has a Sanhedrin of 20, a Sanhedrin of 23, like a large bezin, and that will be the closest city to the corpse. That was the one who will be seen as being sort of the jurisdiction responsible for this part of the country, and therefore they're the ones who have to get involved in making the statements. We'll see in the Pesukim. Okay? Now, once they're identified as being the ones who are measured as closest to the corpse, so then they will go down to a different location, not where the corpse is found, but a place called a Nachal Eisan. Like Rashi understands, that means like a dry riverbed, a harsh riverbed where nothing can be planted afterwards. They there decapitate a Egla. An Egla here comes out, it's a calf less than 2 years old, it's a female calf, and it's a rufa from an oref, which is the back of the neck. It's like it's chopped from the back, like with a cleaver from the back of its neck, and killed in that place, somehow getting a kind of kapara. And it's not kachim, it's not a carbon, but it's something else akin to that. And in some ways, it's even symbolic of like the punishment that should go to the murderer himself. And that's, you know, in fact, if you look in Sanhedrin Nun Beis, it says that the source learning how to execute a murderer is learned from how they decapitate the Egla Arufa. In any case, they will then, the members of the Sanhedrin of the closest city will wash their hands with water, not with blood, wash hands with water over the decapitated calf there on the ground in the Nachal Eisan. Okay? And they'll make a declaration. The declaration is essentially saying that we're innocent, that it wasn't our fault this happened. We did what we could. We didn't, we weren't remiss in our responsibilities. And then the Kohanim who are present will then pray for Kapara on behalf of the Jewish people. Now, the way we got into this topic in the first place, why we're discussing Egla Rufa and the end of Sota, what's the connection, is that if you recall back in the two parakim ago, in the seventh parak, we said that these eight things must be done in Lashon HaKodesh. One of the eight, and the last one we're dealing with here in our Masechta, is the Parsha of Egla Rufa, which means that the declarations that the members of the local Sanhedrin, not the Sanhedrin Gol, but the local Bezin, their declaration has to be in Lashon HaKodesh, as the Pasuk specifies, and the prayer and declaration of the Kohanim has to also be in Lashon HaKodesh, as the Pasuk specifies. So that's what's going on over here in the big picture. Now let me show you the verses inside. What's fascinating is Chazal understand that this refers to a very specific case, and there are lots of different words that specify just how specific of a situation it must be. So let me show you inside. So I'm reading here in Parsha Shoftim. This is Sefer Devarim, Perek Chaf Aleph, so it's chapter 21 of the book of in Devarim, and it says, "Ki yimatse chalal ba'adama." When you find a corpse, it has to be sort of found there. A chalal means someone who's been visited a violent death. Many Rishonim learn it means actually with a metal implement, with a sword or a knife or something. Although the Meiri seems to say even a blunt, it's that you see it was a murder, as opposed to someone who, say, drowned or was strangled, which you can't tell necessarily from looking at the corpse that this was a violent death. It could have been who knows what that killed him. Ba'adama asher Hashem Elokecha nosen lecha l'rishta, on the land, which means out in the open, as opposed to sort of hidden beneath the earth, buried under something. In the land Hashem will give you, that means Eretz Yisrael. This only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And it says, L'rishta, to inherit, which will exclude Yerushalayim, which wasn't part of the original apportioned parts of Eretz Yisrael. Nofel besadeh, who's lying around, having fallen, so he's lying as opposed to being suspended over the ground or something, he's lying around the ground, besadeh, on the field, as opposed to, on floating on water. Lo noda mi hikahu. It's not known who the murderer is. If there's anyone knowledge of the murderer, even one witness, even a woman, etc., that will preempt this whole parsha. V'yatzu zekeinecha v'shoftecha. So then it should go out, your elders and your judges. We'll darsh from here the halacha that zekeinecha and v'shoftecha adds a total of five different elders, and these are the members of the Sanhedrin. They go out, Umadu el ha'arim asher svivos hechalal. They'll measure out to find out which of the towns is closest to this corpse. The assumption here is that there it's Israel, and this time there are lots of little towns dotted in the countryside, and there'll be, close by, there'll be one or more towns, and we're measuring which is the closest. Even if it's obvious which is the closest town, it's a no-brainer, it's right outside one given town, still there's a mitzvah to do the measuring, so they'll measure it out. V'haya ir ha'krova el hechalal, and the town which is closest, measures closest to the corpse. V'lakchu zikni ha'ir ha'hi eglas bakar. The elders, the members of the bezin of that closest city, will take an eglas bakar. An eagle is a calf in its first year. Egla would be a female calf. Since it says bakar, which means a cattle, a cow, it says even in its second year, so it's sort of even an adolescent, if you will. Calf, asher lo ubad ba, asher lo mashcha ba'ol. It had never been worked. It never pulled anything by yoke, never was a draft animal. Vahoridu zikni ha'ir ha'hi es ha'egla el nachal esan asher lo ye'aved bo v'lo yizareah. The elders of that city shall take that calf to a nachal esan. Rosh learns, a nachal is a wadi, okay? And a wadi is a place that has water in it sometimes of the year, like a river, and sometimes it's dry. You've seen them in Eretz Yisrael, probably. So Rosh learns that nachal esan, nachal means the valley, meaning the river bed of that wadi, and esan, which means hard or harsh, means it should be rocky. And here, asher lo ye'aved bo, which is actually, it sounds like it will not be worked in the future, and lo yizareya, it won't be planted in the future because the iser comes in to ever use this land again. It should symbolize the cutting off any further developments, just as this poor calf as being axed and will no longer produce, you know, come to fruition and produce produce and offspring in this place which is harsh, that can't produce, that won't be planted, it's not going to produce. Just like the poor life of the person who was lost, his, you know, his time came to an end early before he could fully produce all the pears he's going to produce. So, the arfu sham esa egla benachal, and they will decapitate from the back of the head this calf at the wadi floor. The Rambam learns that a nachal here is referring to not the river bed, but the river itself. And etan means like it's, so it's like briskly, you know, strongly flowing waters. Okay, that's the Rambam's approach. V'nigshu hakohenim b'nei Levi. So now the Kohanim are getting involved in the story. Kivam bachar Hashem elokecha l'sharso ulvarech b'shem Hashem. And they, Hashem chose them to be his servants and to bless the people in the name of God. Val piem ye kol riv v'chol naga. They're the ones who were designated to be the ones to decide on all kind of arguments, financial arguments, and naga, these are in the goyim, for example, you need a kohen to rule on like a tzaras. V'chol zikni ha'ir ha'hi, all the elders of that city which is closest by, hakrovim el ha'chalal, yirchatsu es yadeim al ha'egla ha'arufa v'nachal. They will wash their hands over this decapitated calf at the wadi floor. Va'anu va'amru, and then they will respond and say, now it doesn't say who, okay, but we're talking here about the this in verse 7 here, Pasuk Zayin, this is the elders, they're saying it. And the va'anu va'amru, they're responding and saying, that is going to be the basis of the Gezeirah Shava. We've seen this already before in the previous Brachim, back in chapter 7 of Sota, that Anuva Amru was an expression used by the Levium when they stood at Har Grizim and Har Eval, when doing those blessings and curses, and that had to be done in Lashon HaKodesh, and the Gezeirah Shava says that this too must be done in Lashon HaKodesh. And now this is one of the two declarations that must be done in that Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew, made by the local Bezdin, and they say, Yadenu, our hands, lo shafchu, we're not, did not spill es hadam hazeh, this blood. Of course, no one's thinking they actually were the murderers, but the point is, they weren't remiss in ensuring that their community provided the proper solidarity, the proper food, the proper escort to ensure that this person should get where he was going in a safe place. Ve'einenu lo ra'u, and we certainly didn't see. Meaning, we didn't see anything that we shouldn't have seen in terms of we could have helped the situation. They say we're innocent of all that, and then now the next. There's some missing word. I mean, Pasuk Chesna begins. It doesn't say explicitly, but for example, the Onkelos does say, the Kohanim then say, and this is the Kohanim's declaration, they say, Kaper la'amcha Yisrael, a request to Hashem to please atone for your nation Israel, Asher Padisa, Hashem, that you redeemed, meaning from Egypt, V'al titen dam naki bekerav amcha Yisrael, and don't let like the guilt from the innocent blood be on your people Israel. V'nichaper lahem hadam, and let them get atonement for the blood that was shed over here. A request for the atonement, and then the whole section ends with v'ata tiva'er hadam hanaki mikirbecha. Now this is a mandate that you should still remove whoever's responsible for shedding the innocent blood. If you find the murderer later on, this hasn't granted him atonement. This is like a makeshift. But if he actually is found, of course, he has to be punished. Ki sase hayashar be'enei Hashem. You must do what's right in the eyes of God, meaning you have to still punish him and bring him to task. Okay? Bring him to justice. So that's the parsha, and that's sort of the big picture here. And let me see now the Mishnah insight here. Mishnah Aleph starts out as follows. It says, Egla Arufa, Belashna Kodesh. Egla Arufa, the Parsha, meaning the declarations that are said both by the local Bezdin as well as by the Kohanim, must be in Lashna Kodesh, Shene'emar, as the Pasuk says. Now we quote a Pasuk here, which is, Ki Yimatze Chalal Ba'adama, end quote. And that quote is the beginning of the Parsha of the Egla Arufa back in Pasuk Aleph, but it doesn't actually tell you much of anything. And the Gemara says, well, how do you see it from there? And it ends up saying, well, yeah, later on, in Pasuk Zion, it says Va'anu Va'amru, and they respond saying, and that of course was Gezeirah Shava, like I said before. Okay, so the Mishnah is not explicit, but that's what's happening here. Now the Mishnah continues on and says, okay, now so how do we play out the story of Egla Rufa? So it quotes the pasuk. It says, "V'yatsu zikenecha v'shofetecha." Your elders and judges shall go out. Now, there's some redundancy there. Why do we need both elders and judges? What it's talking about. So it's telling you that zikenecha is telling you you need to have like two elders. It's plural. Shoftecha is telling you that they should be like the supreme justices of your society, meaning members of the Sanhedrin. And since you can't have just two, zikenecha is plural, and it means two, of course, but you can't have just two because there's a rule that we don't have a bezdin hashakul, as the Mishnah will say. We don't, because the rule is achirab lahatos, when you have any sort of situation of judges deciding things, you have to go after the majority. And if you have an even number of judges, then you can't have a majority, and therefore you have to prevent that by adding an extra. So zikenecha tells you two, but you have to add a third, and therefore, says the Mishnah, shlosha mebezdin hagadol shebi Yerushalayim, you need to have three members of the Supreme Court in Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin, and they would go, Hayu Yotzin, they would go out and be the ones who do the measuring from the corpse till close the city. Okay? That's the Tanna Kamma Shita, you need three. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says no, Chamisha, you need actually five of them. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, and it's the same Pasuk, Zikenecha Vishoftecha, but he says, listen, Zikenecha tells you the first two, Shneim. V'shoftecha tells you shnaim, two more. Now, you need shoftecha, still tell you members of the Sanhedrin, but the extra vav in the v'shoftecha tells you the limit of the extra two for a total of four, but you can't just have four. V'ein bezdin shakul, you can't have an equally weighted bezdin of infinite numbers of people. You won't have a rabbim, and therefore, mosifin aleim od, echad, you add one more, bring a total of five. So five members of the Sanhedrin are doing the measuring from the corpse to discover or define which is the closest city with its own bezin of 23, which is responsible to participate in this Egla Rufa procedure. Halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the Rambam Paskins, you need to have five members of the Sanhedrin doing the measuring.